All right, here we are, another episode, another day, another Friday. Happy to be here with everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is episode 411. How crazy is that?
Good number.
Can you believe we've done 411 shows?
No.
Bizarre, right?
Can't believe you've done 411.
Yeah.
I joined around, what, Mark, maybe the 75?
Yeah. It's been fun.
Well done.
A lot of fun.
Lot of fun. A lot of learning.
I've got a belly full of papaya and I'm ready to go.
Not a bad way to start the morning.
Not too bad. Not
I see
too
you
bad.
Have your energy ring and your crystals over there too, so you're all set.
Yeah, I got the little energy ring. I got the zapper on. I got the old less EMF shield here.
I love it.
You know, so for those that aren't aware, we've been doing a lot of work over here at Extreme Health Radio, learning about frequencies and electromagnetic pollution, smart meters. You know, this is something that we all know about and something that we have talked about extensively on a lot of the shows. But sometimes you go through phases. I don't know if you do, Kate, you know, or the listeners do, where you go through phases where you sort of pop in and out of things and you learn things more deeply and then you sort of phase out and learn about other stuff. But last few days, we've been watching a couple documentaries that you guys might find interesting. One is called Resonance of Being, and the other one is called Take Back Your Power. The Take Back Your Power may be on YouTube, but it's on definitely Amazon Prime is where we watched it. But some pretty eye-opening things, huh, Kate?
Mm.
Pretty
eye-opening and disturbing. So.
Eye-opening and disturbing. I know, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you want to know, but you don't want to know. But hey, living in a hole isn't going to help us either. So.
That's, I know,
we need
right?
some solutions.
Yeah, so we have Ken Rolla on the show, and I've known about Ken for a lot of years. I was telling him before the show, originally found his work. I listened to some YouTube videos or watched some YouTube videos of him explaining some of the devices he has on his website. And his website is freshandalive.com. And he's been, I was reading his bio. I didn't realize this. He was 23 years worked in the medical industry.
Wow.
Which is crazy that, you know, come full circle. And now he's talking to us before the show about going to some free energy conferences and things like that. And he's, does a lot of work with emotional healing, detoxification. He said in one of his talks that cancer is primarily a disease of anger, works on reprogramming limited unconscious beliefs and esoteric techniques, all kinds of cool stuff. So you can check him out, freshandalive.com. And thanks so much, Ken, for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know, I was reading your bio, and I just was kind of blown away that you spent 23 years in the medical industry, and to come, like I just said, full circle is quite a crazy,
journey.
Quite a journey.
Yeah, I've had a long and strange and winding road to get where I'm at, and I never imagined in a million years that I would be doing what I'm doing today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it has been a strange path, but yeah, my mom was the nurse who delivered the first Salk polio vaccine, and so she was, and she worked at Duke Medical Center in North Carolina, so she was very entrenched in the medical system. So I grew up around doctors and the medical system, and then I got jobs when I was in high school and out of high school in medical centers, and so I just kind of, because of that background, you know, I kept getting jobs in the medical system for, you know, 23 years.
That's amazing. And I said you worked in different sort of layers of the medical field, so you kind of bounced around, but you were there for 23 years working on different areas, right, of the medical industry.
Yeah, I've done everything from working at national policy level with, you know, national politicians and Congress, down to working in emergency rooms, drawing blood on patients in emergency rooms. I've worked in pathology labs doing testing of, you know, human specimens and samples. I worked in computer systems. I worked at the North Carolina Hospital Association for 10 years, running their data center and doing various things. So, I've had a wide breadth of working in the medical system and seen the administrative ends, the political ends, and also the patient interactions and the, you know, how the systems actually work with the patients.
Slightly different than you know, Gabriel Cousins and Dr. Brian Clement, huh?
Yeah, my background is electrical engineering, so I never imagined that I would be doing that, but I kept getting jobs, you know, and people kept throwing money my way, and so I just kind of went down that path. But ultimately, you know, after 23 years, I was tired of it. I'd been there and done that with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
My soul was kind of withering, and so I needed to do something else and something more creative. So I quit all that and became a potter. And I'll never forget the day when I went to my CEO and told him that I wanted to quit and become a potter. He said, "What is that?" So far out of his reality, he didn't know what potter was. But I said, "You know, it makes pots, pottery." He's like, "Oh, okay. I thought that was some kind of computer term." Because,
oh my gosh,
just couldn't imagine somebody giving up a well-paying job to go and make pottery for a living.
But that is so funny.
That was kind of the beginning of me getting into natural health, and I was doing that for about 5 years. And
wow. And so before you got into actually making that decision, didn't you have some health challenges, right, to sort of spurn that?
Yeah, well, my whole life I was born sick and didn't know it, like many people, especially these days. You know, my entire life I was hypoglycemic. I had blood sugar swings and mood swings and energy swings depending on what I ate and how much I ate and how much sleep I got. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of known for that. And in my mid to late 20s, I started getting exposed to the idea that diet might have something to do with it. But it wasn't until my early 30s where I started taking action, discovered raw and living foods and detoxification and cellular regeneration.
So what's your diet like now these days?
Well, nowadays, I eat mostly raw and living foods, you know, vegan raw and living foods diet. Absolutely. At the very least, organic. We grow a lot of our own food, and we do a lot of sprouting. And I do a lot of stuff with growing our food that I don't know anybody else doing, using superconducting ormus elements, these very special minerals, using scalar energy fields to do what nature does naturally, but increase it so that we get extremely nutrient-dense food that's actually very healing.
What is a...
So I eat a lot of raw and living foods, and I do eat some cooked food a little bit.
What is scalar, for those that are listening, what is scalar energy?
Scalar energy is a type of subtle energy that really originates at the centers of galaxies. Physicists have discovered there's this photonic energy that comes from the centers of galaxies, and it's actually light, but it's superluminal light. It's zooming out far beyond what we've been told is the speed of light, and it spirals as it comes out, and it branches as it comes out. So it's spiraling and fractaling as it comes out, and it's relayed. It passes through singularities or black holes at the centers of suns and planets, and so all the suns and planets in the galaxy act like relays for this energy, and so it's relayed outward from the center of the galaxy through sun to sun to sun, and it gets to us, and it's coming down to us from our sun and from the center of the Earth, and it actually is what creates physical matter, and it's what creates 3D reality. And so it slows down and coagulates into 3D matter and the electromagnetic energy that we can see and measure.
So
that's basically what it is. I liken it to God consciousness. It has an intelligence, and it really is the energy of consciousness, because human consciousness, all consciousness, is composed of scalar waves.
Now, is there a correlation or is there something similar between implosion technology or a scalar a part of that, or how does that relate to scalar?
Yeah. When you implode things, particularly like in a vortex, what you're doing is opening up a portal to other dimensions of time and space, and the scalar energy is multidimensional, so it's passing through all dimensions of time and space. I wouldn't really say dimensions, it's really frequencies of time and space, but basically, yeah, a vortex, like a water vortex, you can actually create a black hole in your house because they're not all these all-encompassing, you know, the big ones can suck all this matter and energy into them, but you can create small ones. I've actually done this with yogis where with your hands you can create a black hole and it will actually absorb heat from the environment around it. But in a water vitalizer, which is this device that looks kind of like a blender, and it vortexes water in a magnetic field, that actually is opening up a little portal to other dimensions of space-time. And when you do that, it brings this scalar energy into this 3D system, and you can do things with it because it alters matter and energy in 3D. It will do a lot of interesting things. It can create free energy. It can neutralize radioactivity. In these vitalizers, what it does is it breaks minerals, macro minerals, down into individual atoms of those minerals or small particles of just a few atoms, which are known as angstrom minerals and monoatomic minerals.
So something weird and something strange is happening when we put things through a spiral sort of nature, when, because everything really is spinning and there's these sacred shapes like the egg. And so when we spin, it's creating like a zero point, right?
Exactly. Zero point is just a name that's been given to this energy when it comes through subatomic structures. So there's a lot of different names for this energy, you know, chi, prana, orgone, you know, zero point energy, tachyon energy, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. It's all the same thing. It's this faster than light, subtle energy of consciousness. And the vortexes are key because the toroidal field, the energy field of a galaxy, is a toroid. It's a donut shape. Uh-huh. And at the center of that donut is the vortex. It's this swirling energy going down the drain, so to speak, in the mm-hmm. center of that toroid, and it comes back out the other side. So in nature, throughout the galaxy, and at every scale of magnitude, you see these vortexes because they are part of toroidal fields. So, for example, galaxies have this toroidal-shaped field where energy flows in this toroidal shape. So do solar systems. They have this toroidal-shaped field. So do suns and planets. They have a toroidal-shaped field. So do human bodies. So do all living organisms. So do cells. So do atoms. And on, it's ad infinitum. You've got this recursive toroidal field structure throughout the universe, and what we really have in this 3D reality and in non-physical realities or other dimensional realities, you've got this web. The whole universe is this web of black holes, and the fields around them are toroidal shaped. So that's why you see the vortex in a lot of interesting places.
You know, it's so fascinating. It's so interesting that, you know, you're talking about this, and, you know, I got into raw food 2003, and I'm fascinated by this. It's weird that you get, you know, people will get into raw food or just, you know, eating healthier. And but it's, I don't know, it's something about the raw food or something where people get into this sort of lifestyle. And then all of a sudden, one day you're talking about, you know, free energy and
making
toroids.
Making black holes with your hands.
Yeah, right. It's bizarre. Like, what is it about up. This crowd that just, it's so fascinated
well,
by that kind of information?
It raises consciousness because it raises the superconductivity in the body, which increases your intelligence, your empathy, your ability to comprehend, your ability to feel, your ability to discern. And so generally when I go do talks, I specifically target raw food groups because I know that in any community they're going to be the higher consciousness people in the area.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
it does jack up intelligence and empathy and everything else.
So going back to your garden, how are you using the scalar waves on your food?
Yeah, I was wondering that. Yeah.
Okay, well, we grow food in several different ways. We'll grow some sprouts in trays of soil indoors in a well-lit room. And I have my devices like my ReShield, which is a little pyramid that puts out scalar fields, and it pulses at a frequency that the Earth is supposed to be pulsing at but no longer does. And that de-stresses living organisms. And plants actually take this energy that's coming from the sun and from the center of the Earth, and they convert it directly into matter. So when you, for example, you take an acorn and you stick it in the ground and you get this giant oak tree, you don't have a giant hole there, you know, so where does all that mass come from? It's taking these scalar waves and, you know, it also takes the visible light waves, but predominantly scalar waves, which is just light energy. It's just faster light energy, and converts it directly into matter. So plants and photosynthesis, they're this multidimensional process that converts scalar energy into matter. And so with these, I've discovered with these devices that I make, these plants can actually take the energy that they put off and convert it directly into matter, so it will radically enhance growth. For example, we had a lady in Miami who took an avocado seed and put it in a glass of water with a toothpick sticking in it, mm-hmm. and went off to South America for a couple of weeks, and she came back, and in 2 weeks that seed had grown into a 2-foot-tall plant. But the interesting thing was the water level didn't go down at all in the glass. And I believe that's because that the plant didn't even need to uptake water. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure why it prevented evaporation, but But for whatever reason, that plant was able to take the skater waves coming off the rest shield and convert it directly into the matter that it created itself from. So in our food here, we're growing in trays of soil. And when you're growing in trays, the root systems don't have time to develop and absorb nutrients the way they would out in the ground. So we foliar feed them with Ormus elements. And specifically, there's a product called Migro Minerals. You can go to MigroMinerals.com and see these. And we'll foliar feed the sprouts with those, and they're growing right next to a rest shield, so we've got skater fields growing. And we get phenomenal sprouts. I mean, people, you know, they look like our wheatgrass is like 16 inches high. You know, our sunflower sprouts and things are just ridiculously large.
Wow. Yeah, people that aren't aware of Ormus, people have described it as spirit matter, but different, you know, flipping things from Ormus to non-Ormus minerals and things. Discuss a little bit about Ormus. Like, what is it, and how does it affect the growth medium of plants?
There are simply certain minerals on the periodic chart, elements, minerals, the platinum group metals, gold, silver, mercury, and copper, that can exist as individual atoms. Mm-hmm. And normally, because all these minerals are metals, conventional scientific wisdom would say that that's impossible. These metals cannot exist as individual atoms, because they have such strong electric charge that they want to bind to each other in groups of thousands of atoms in this kind of three-dimensional grid, which is what makes a metal a metal. Metals are crystals. And so normally conventional science would say it's impossible to have monoatomic metals because they want to bind so tightly to each other, these atoms. Mm-hmm. But if you run them through certain processes like photosynthesis or vortexing these minerals in water, in magnetic fields and skater fields, also microbial action can break them down into monoatomics, then what you get is, instead of a metallic metal or mineral, you get a ceramic powder that, in all cases of these, it looks like a white ceramic powder, and they become superconductors. And when they're absorbed into living organisms, it creates superconductivity in the DNA and in the nervous system and the spine and in the brain and the neural pathways in the brain. And that is where the mind-body connection happens in living organisms. You know, because you hear doctors talk about the mind-body connection. Well, if there really is one, mm-hmm. which there is, somewhere the energetic of consciousness has to meet the physicality of a physical body, and it's in these superconducting minerals within the body. And plants have these in them. Groundwater has them in them. Ocean water has them in them. Plants have them in them. And animals have them in them. So you can feed plants these monoatomics and radically jack up the superconductivity in them, and then that radically jacks up the nutrient levels, and you get phenomenal growth. For example, there is one product that I can't name the name of, actually, because the people that developed it have had several death, not threats, they've actually had attempts on their lives for doing this, but they developed a product that you can put on soil that will create these monoatomics with the existing minerals in the soil. And they were doing field trials in Texas with tomato plants on a tomato farm, and they were getting 15-foot high tomatoes with 3,000 to 4,000 nutrient dense tomatoes per vine.
3,000 to 4,000
nutrients? These aren't chemical abominations. These are normal, extremely healing foods.
Wow.
And so this is the kind of food that I grow at my home. We also use hydroponic tower gardens, and we of course also grow in soil. Mm-hmm. So I do all of that.
Do you use any of the like rock dust or ocean minerals and things too?
Yeah, absolutely. With any of it grown in soil or anywhere I can use rock powders, we'll use volcanic rock powders like azomite or rhyolite, Jersey green sand, Redmond minerals, stuff like that. And you can put them down, and then you can spray them with microbes, like effective microorganisms, and the microbes will eat the rock powders and break them down into angstrom and monoatomic particles, which the plants will then uptake, and then you get this phenomenal growth.
Now, where are you getting these? I'm sure people are listening thinking, where do I get the rock dust? Where do I get the ocean minerals? Are there places that,
first
you know?
Of all, I would get the book, The Enlivened Rock Powders by Harvey Lisle, L-I-S-L-E. Okay. And that book tells you about 20 different rock powders and where to get them and all the things you can do with them.
Oh, great.
You can get azomite, which is A-Z-O-M-I-T-E. You can get that online. I sell little small packages of it on my website. But you can buy that online. You can get it at farm supply places, and you can contact them. They can tell you where locally you can get it. You know, like a 44-pound bag of it is around $30.
Oh, wow.
Redmond Minerals also has minerals for livestock that are really good. Any kind of volcanic mineral is going to be good because volcanoes, when they blow off ash and rock, that volcanic ash and rock is very, very high in these monoatomics.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, if you go onto YouTube and you search on Iceland volcano lightning or just volcano lightning, you'll see volcanoes erupting with lightning shooting up out of them from the ground. And that's because the lava and the ash is so high in these superconducting metals. Superconductors have really, really weird properties. And one of them is they create a superconducting field called a Meissner field. Mm-hmm. And it creates huge electric current or electric potential. So these volcanoes are grounding out and shooting out these lightning bolts because of the superconductivity in the ash. And, of course, most scientists have no idea why that is, but that's what's going on.
Could you imagine how amazing it would be to one day see the levels of Ormus on the back of a product in a health food store or something? That would be,
one
day we're getting there.
It's hard to measure because it's not regular matter. These aren't regular physical minerals. They're multidimensional matter, which is what makes them so weird, gives them such weird properties. It's kind of like each mineral is, or each particle is like a little iceberg, where the tip of the iceberg is the three-dimensional mineral that you see in 3D, but the majority of it is actually coexisting simultaneously in other dimensions of time and space. And so that's what connects these other dimensions of space-time to our 3D reality. And that's also part of the way how we are all connected through consciousness, because we've got these minerals in our body, and they're connecting us to all these other space-time dimensions. And this energy of consciousness, this scalar energy that we all transmit and receive, it passes through these minerals. And so we're all part of this web of this consciousness that's flowing throughout the cosmos. It's basically a big energy circuit.
So fascinating. Hey, Ken, can we call you right back? We're getting a lot of sort of static with Skype, but I want to read a question we have from the listener chat room, and then we'll call you right back on Skype. Is that okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay, what's the question, Kate?
We got one. Yeah, just before we move on from like the, you know, plants and things like that, Amber Marie had a great question. She said she's recently heard about microgreens and wonder if Ken has experimented with any of that.
Microgreens.
Wants to know what that's about.
So. We'll call Ken right back, and we'll come right back to that.
And get the answer.
Awesome.
Great.
Thanks, Ken.
All right.
Okay. Fascinating, 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 huh?
My mind's kind of, I feel like my head's spinning around on my neck.
I know, right?
Black holes, vortexes.
There's so many different directions
free energy.
We could go.
I know. I think we need to obviously
talk about free energy.
Talk about this micrograin thing and then get to the free energy stuff.
Yeah, because we're trying to get to that. But man, I could talk to
Ken for sun up till sundown.
I know, right? We should have him back on.
He's great.
Let's try to get him in studio next time.
Yeah, he's coming our way, right?
Yeah,
in spring.
Let's do that. Okay, so let's call him right back. Let's see. Okay, Ken, are you there?
Right. We're back.
Awesome. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, you sound fine to me.
We had the gremlins cutting in from
it. Yeah, we had the gremlins cutting in. I don't know what that was about.
You didn't want to talk about vortexing.
Okay, so we had a question about microgreens. Is that a product or what is that?
Microgreens. It's kind of a...
like a green
powder?
There's
sprouts that you grow into... Let's say lettuce. You can grow lettuce into just little tiny sprouts instead of big leaves.
So you have macro
greens. I do have a lot of experience growing them. I grow them actually here at our house. And you can grow them in various ways. The way I grow them is I actually get these needlepoint screens that have very small holes in them. And we'll soak the seeds and get them sprouting with just little tails. And then I'll spread those across the screen. And then I water them, I spray them with a fine mist of water mixed with Ormus minerals. And so that's how I grow them. But you can grow them, some people grow them on soil, which is fine. But I always foliar feed them with the Ormus minerals because that gives them a lot more nutrition.
Now, sprouting is one of the best things that you can do, right? I mean, because sprouted foods are one of the most powerful foods on the planet, aren't they?
Absolutely, because you're taking a seed that has a certain amount of let's say, caloric value that is not very high. Mm-hmm. And when you sprout it, you're exponentially increasing just the matter or the mass of the seed just alone. But then also, because photosynthesis is this multidimensional scalar energy process, when you've got a live sprout growing, you're bringing this energy, this zero point energy or scalar energy, into the plant, and it exudes that. It's what, you know, people call life force. Mm-hmm. And so when that seed is going through a sprouting process, it hits a peak and then it kind of levels out and drops down a little bit. So the whole point of sprouting is to capture those sprouts when they're hitting their peak, mm-hmm. so that you're getting this, not only this dense amount of nutrition, but also you're getting the energetic. And the energetic is something that not many people talk about, but that is one of the primary things that makes sprouts so superior to other forms of food. You're getting photosynthesis, you're getting this life force or the scalar energy of the food, and it's still growing. You know, when you're getting stuff from the health food store that's been harvested, like lettuce and things, that plant is dying. It's decaying very slowly, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have the life force that a sprout does. So you're basically getting ormus and scalar energy along with the nutrition, a dense amount of nutrition in one package.
And then if you grow it like the way you're growing stuff and then run it through a juicer and drink the juice right away, that could just be a power food.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. And I mean, this is what I do with everything. So everything I do is high ormus.
Yeah.
I just kind of take it for granted. But this is something I've been teaching for many years just to people, is how to do this. You can do it with growing food. You can do it with fermentation. For example, you can ferment rock powders and herbs and different superfoods and nutrients and break them all down. And if you do it in scalar fields, you'll create high amounts of ormus, which is extremely healing and regenerative. So you can make your own medicines with, you know, for pennies using fermentation. You can also create these ormus elements by vortexing water in a magnetic field and a scalar field.
Wow. Amber Marie says, thank you so much. She's going to save this show when she starts to grow things, so that's awesome.
Yeah, and actually, if folks want to download some of my sprouting tips, I have a hidden page on my website that I give out on radio. It's downloads.freshandalive.com. You can go there and you can download my sprouting tips and some other things I've got there.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Awesome.
And so you kind of walk people
and
through
my fermentation. I've got the very detailed directions on how to make ormus fermentation brews that you can make your own medicines with.
Wow. So that's all it downloads. Do people put their name and email for that, or do they just grab it?
No, they just go there and download it.
That's awesome. Thank you, Ken.
That's so great. Okay.
I'll
that's
post
awesome.
That in the chat room as well.
Yeah, we were just, like I said at the beginning of the show, watching a lot of the stuff about electromagnetic field frequency. And recent one we were watching documentary was that one called Take Back Your Power, and it's all about the smart meters. And I'm sure it's a lot of people watch that one. But during the midst of that particular documentary, they're talking about a little bit about free energy. And I know that's something that you're super well versed in. And I just got to thinking, like, it's interesting how this free energy ideas are proliferating out there, but they're still being sort of scaled back, right? It's interesting how that works.
Actively attacked is more like it.
Oh, you're a little more. I'll say that. Actively attacked.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, oh gosh, they're having a hard time struggling to get it financed. It's like they were killing people over it. Back in the early 90s, I worked with a man named Ewell Brown who developed water fuel technology. And that technology could power everything on the planet non-toxically, and it could clean up all the pollution, including radioactivity. I actually saw a demonstration with Department of Energy officials and a couple of senators and a bunch of scientists where this technology was used to neutralize radioactivity, and high-level radioactivity, not low-level. And it's actually technology for neutralizing radioactivity has been around since the mid-70s at least. But it's not being let out, and free energy is not being let out because it would destroy the current control mechanisms and current energy industries. And so those industries will violently oppose you. And in fact, Ewell Brown had several attempts on his life, and I think ultimately he was killed. Mm-hmm. Many other people who have developed water fuel and other free energy technologies have been killed and suppressed. I've had death threats myself over stuff I've developed. and had to go into hiding. So that's the reality of the world we live in right now. There are tons and tons and tons of methods for creating free energy. I've got a little coil sitting here in my office that can create free energy for pennies. That it could be put on everybody's homes and drop their power bills 90%. But it, you know, if anybody was to really attempt to market that, you'd get a knock on your door before long and start having some problems. So I've seen that over and over again.
You know, I was going to ask you, why is it that people that are creating the free energies, because you know they're creating the free energy and then they're you know working with patents, and I always thought the best thing to do would be to just put the plans up on the internet, have it be crowdsourced, much like how Bitcoin was sort of done that way, where it's crowdsourced, and allow people to be able to buy the parts separately themselves and create it, the stuff themselves, without going through any kind of patents.
Well, that's starting to happen. You've got Marianne Keshe, for example, who has got what he calls a magnetic plasma technology that can not only create free energy, but it can also neutralize weapons of all kinds, from a battleship on down to an M16 rifle. And, of course, you know, he's had attempts on his life and been threatened intensely. But all of these people now, they understand that the only way it's going to get out is if it's given away and open sourced. And so you're starting to see that happen. Mm-hmm. So there are some plans like the QED generator. Most of the ones I've seen out there that are open sourced are pretty clunky. They're much, much better, simpler technologies that anybody could build. For example, Rodin coils. You can create Rodin coils and use them to create free energy very simply. So it is coming out, but... you know, it's being violently opposed, even being out open sourced. And so enough of us cockroaches have to, you know, be aware of this stuff and also help in the process to put it on servers on the internet and keep it alive, keep it on YouTube and keep it out there. And that is happening. So mm-hmm. gradually people are building their own free energy systems. I've met people riding around in cars powered by water fuel that, you know, they're not producing it for anybody. They're just doing it for themselves.
That's awesome.
So it is getting out there, but it's very slow.
Much like the plans I saw something on a email. I'm not sure where I saw this the other day, but something about there being plans to, you know, people can actually create their own guns. They could buy all the different parts to make a gun.
Oh, I remember you saying
that. And that way you don't have to have a license. You don't have to have any kind of, government intrusion on that. And you can... actually build your own gun with different parts. So I thought this is
interesting. Yeah, there's a guy who came up with the three-dimensional drawings for 3D printed gun. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he was heavily attacked and dragged through court and everything. But he was a very brave man, and he stood up for it. And, of course, now it's been made illegal to print a 3D gun. But still, mm-hmm. there are pioneering people like that who are pressing the boundaries of the control mechanisms, and more they're getting more and more leaks in their dam.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of Elon Musk and his stuff he's doing with the solar technology?
I think Elon Musk knows far, far more about free energy than he's admitting publicly, but he knows that even with billions, you can only go so far. I was surprised that he actually brought to market his household batteries, where you can run a house on a battery system.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, it's and, you know, of course, he's being attacked and having a lot of difficulties as well, but he's got a lot of extremely wealthy people behind him, backing him, and that's what it's going to take. You kind of have to do it in increments. Mm-hmm. First battery technology, and then, you know, something else, and then eventually you don't need the battery anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because essentially his technology, he's trying to make the batteries, am I wrong about it? He's trying to make the batteries so that he can eventually make a rocket that goes to Mars, right? And that's the whole idea behind all the solar energy, right?
And Richard Branson, it's very interesting. They're, you know, they're working on going to space and going to Mars. And my understanding is, from people I've met working in secret programs, that the powers that be don't want to allow that, because there is stuff on the moon. There's a lot of evidence, not only evidence of extraterrestrial life on the moon, but there actually are supposedly extraterrestrial bases on the dark side of the moon and on Mars. And that if these guys go out there as private enterprise individuals and expose this stuff, it'll expose a lot of things that our government and other governments don't want out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, essentially space has been sort of militarized, right, by NASA, so they can't allow that.
That's what I hear. And, of course, also when you encounter civilizations or beings that have interstellar space travel capability, which, by the way, we have, I've seen it, when the public understands that those technologies exist, those technologies also would completely shatter the control paradigm on this planet, because it also creates free energy. It creates all sorts of technologies that would break the entire control mechanisms on this planet, economic, energy systems, all of it. So that's one of the reasons why, even though there's lots and lots of evidence showing that our government and other governments have had extraterrestrial contact for many decades, they're not allowing it out because it would shatter the existing economic and control paradigms.
I think that, you know, something's got to break. And Kay, you and I talk about this all the time just when we're around the house, but something has to break. And I don't think that the existing paradigm can continue its sort of Illuminati grip on the consciousness of people. At some point, the people that are now, let's say they're 10 years old, they're growing up in the internet world. And so they've never been alive without Facebook and YouTube and all these things and Google. And eventually those people that are 10 years old now are going to be the ones that are going to be the people in power. And I just can't imagine for, you know, hundreds or thousands of years into the future that they're going to be able to suppress free energy. At some point it's going to crack, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. It already is. And I would imagine within a few decades it'll be out. Because if you look at what's going on right now, for example, Dr. Stephen Greer just came out with a video on YouTube, and I highly recommend everybody watch it. If you go to YouTube and search on Stephen with a V, Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N, Greer, G-R-E-E-R, November 2015, he's got a four-hour presentation that he just did about all of this secret stuff that he's been digging up about secret space programs and extraterrestrial intervention on Earth, and the manipulation of our worldview so that we maintain this control. And he discussed how things are falling apart. But people need to educate themselves and connect and get their news from reliable, unbiased sources like this program, rather than official news channels from governments. And increasingly, that is, you know, on YouTube, all across the internet, more and more information is coming out. Of course, it's heavily salted with disinformation. But, you know, people develop their discernment and they maintain a watchful eye to look for solutions to their issues. And the main thing I see is that people have this kind of slave mentality where they just see something bad occurring in their life or in the world, and they go, oh gosh, isn't that terrible? I wish we could do something. Well, we always can do something. There's always a solution to whatever your problem is, because the one trump card that we have is that consciousness creates reality. And that's not some metaphysical conceit. Scientists are proving now how our brains and our nervous systems are scalar energy transmission systems, and we're continually putting out this energy. We pick it up and bring it in from the sun and from the center of the earth, and then we rebroadcast it to create our reality, and we're physically manipulating our reality all the time. And that is one of the biggest secrets that the powers that be on this planet don't want us to know about. But when you understand that and you start working with that and you take charge of your life, then you can start developing solutions and just bypass all these control systems. Like, you don't have to ask for anybody's permission to turn your car into a water-powered car. There are plans on YouTube and on the internet you can convert your car to water power. And it doesn't matter what the law says. There's all kinds of illegal, unjust laws. This is something I learned from Yul Brown and also working with Martin Luther King's family. It's like, when you've got a corrupt, illegal, unjust government, you don't look to them for permission. You do what's right, and, you know, so that's how you change the world.
So, Ken, on your website, I've been looking this whole talk about a bunch of the DVDs and things, and I see Fresh and Alive, Escape from Alcatraz, Breaking Free of Your Mind Prison. 72 minutes, is that, does that go into depth a lot more about this mind control, obviously, and how to overcome it?
It goes into details about how to break the mind control and how to not just break the mind control, but how to do emotional healing and shift your consciousness so that you can live a happy life. You know, forget about if you want to change the world. If you just want to live a happy life, most people don't even know how to have a happy life,
right?
Because they're caught up in all this programming that they've been bombarded with since being a child,
right?
This disempowering and you know,
discouraging.
Negative.
Have you seen? I mean, I'm sure you've seen in your own life and people around you what happens when you actually break free on an emotional, and I'm sure then the physical body follows that as well, huh?
Oh, absolutely. It's your whole reality becomes very uplifting, but you also, it's more isolated because when you step out of the mass mind control that everybody's buying into, then you see through the nonsense. And for example, my life, I mean, I have this amazing, incredible life. It's very much like Forrest Gump. It's just crazy things fall in my lap. Because for example, in my business, I take a love-based approach in my business. I treat all my employees with love. I talk about it in the business and I tell them I love them. And all of our policies are geared towards their benefit and their well-being. As well as the mission and purpose of the business itself is to improve the well-being of the planet. So when you adopt that kind of a paradigm and you step out of this fear-based nonsense that we've been taught, then everything shifts in every facet of your life and it becomes incredibly wonderful. And so I pinch myself all the time and thank God that I've got the life that I do. And it's because of stepping out of this programming, and it's taken a lot of work and a lot of emotional healing and a lot of, you know, breaking of unconscious beliefs to do that with. And so that's what I've summed up in that Alcatraz CD is these techniques for breaking that programming and living an uplifting life. You can be happy and healthy every day. You don't have to be miserable or fearful or sick or in pain or whatever.
That is so encouraging. I posted that in the chat room because people were really wanting the link to that. What a empowering. I think the more we empower ourselves, so that fear cannot survive in our bodies.
It's funny that when I came out with that CD, you know, I thought, wow, well, you know, people will be interested in breaking their programming. But that CD hardly sells any at all because people see the title and they go, well, I'm not mind controlled.
Oh, how funny.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They didn't want to admit it, do they?
The level of which it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't want to admit it. So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I personally can't wait to get my hands on it. Thank you for making such a work.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I think one of the main things is that you see these documentaries and you see different things that are on YouTube, and so much of it is fear-based. So much of it is putting control under the hands of people over your life. And, you know, especially that documentary we just watched. I guess it's just fresh on my mind because we just watched it, called Resonance of Beings. And a whole entire documentary, it was talking about how smart meters and EMF frequencies and cell phones and towers and all these things are having, you know, health issues, people getting cancer and all this stuff, but it doesn't give any solutions. There's no solutions, and it makes you feel completely disempowered. And I couldn't help but thinking when I watched it, like, it's great to expose yourself to that kind of information. And people that listen to this show, people that are fans of us and fans of this type of information, are generally people that are going to do that. They're going to listen to that kind of stuff. But it's important to realize that, you know, that's almost just as disempowering as watching the news. Because like you were saying before the show, Ken, you're all about solutions, right?
Right. We have solutions for every single problem we've got on this planet. Every last one. And the reason is because the energetic, the scalar energy of consciousness that's traveling through the cosmos, it has polarity. And so the polarity that creates the problems is always accompanied by the polarity that creates the solutions. So whether it's nuclear power or, you know, the oceans being poisoned by Fukushima or whatever, there are already people that have solutions for it on this planet. There are brilliant, brilliant souls on this planet that well before these things even came up, there were solutions for them. And so all we have to do is be aware that that's the case. It's like when the Fukushima disaster occurred, I didn't go, oh gosh, that's terrible, we're all going to die. I said, I wonder if a scalar energy weapon caused that earthquake. So I Googled Fukushima scalar weapon, and one of the first things that came up was a video of an interview with the Minister of Finance of Japan stating that the United States had used skater weapons against them to create the earthquake, and that that wasn't the first time. They had done it two times before that to blackmail Japan into economic policies against China to keep the Chinese yen from becoming the world's reserve currency, which is the currency that everybody, all these countries around the world, do business with. Right now it's the U.S. dollar, but Russia and China and this whole alliance of nations is working to change that to the Chinese yen. And so here the United States is using the skater weapon to create this earthquake to blackmail Japan, and here's the Minister of Finance of Japan who's, you know, reports to the directly to the President of Japan or the Prime Minister.
Wow.
Stating that, you know, this is what's going on. And so, and there are other people who have been exposing this. So I could have said, oh gosh, golly, oh, woe is me, I guess my butt's cooked. But I said, well, if they're using skater energy to create earthquakes and cause these problems, I wonder if anybody is using skater waves to neutralize radioactivity. And I started looking around, and that's when I found there are 61 patents worldwide for methods for neutralizing radioactivity. I've got that list on my website if anybody wants to see it, along with a ton of other solutions. If you just go to radiationlinks.freshandalive.com, you can see those patents and a slew of other solutions. And so when you really understand that you create your reality and that consciousness creates reality, when these problems from these crazy people are created, you can bet your bottom dollar there's already somebody else who has developed a solution for it. And so I just look around and find the solutions, and I bring them out to the public.
I like that. We'll put a link also to the radiation links on your website, as well as the I think I found that video that you were talking about with the radioactive scalar energy things. And so I'll put that in the show notes too. So what are some of your tips for people that say, you know, that get locked into this sort of fear-based? You know, you just said that you know, you don't think like that. You don't think like, oh, woe is us. How is it that you don't think like that, and what can people do to sort of shield themselves just from the negativity of the news of the event itself?
Well, first of all, study mind control. Study trauma-based mind control. There are great books and videos now on YouTube about it. There's a woman named Kathy O'Brien who has a book called Transformation of America. And that's TRANCE, Formation of America.
Okay.
There's a woman named Bryce Taylor who has a book called Thanks for the Memories, The Truth Has Set Me Free. There's a guy named Jim Keith who has a book called Mass Control, Engineering Human Consciousness. Those are good books to start out with. And I will give you a warning that Kathy O'Brien and Bryce Taylor's books are very difficult reads because they detail the very nasty, horrific things that go into government trauma-based mind control. Mm-hmm. But with that said, once you learn about that, it's kind of like when you buy a new car and all of a sudden you start seeing that model of car out on the highway everywhere. Mm-hmm. When you become aware of this problem, then you start recognizing it all around you. It's in the movie theaters, it's in the newspapers, it's on the internet, it's in television and Netflix and everywhere. And so then it becomes very easy to identify it. And then to step out of that, you've got to do emotional healing work, and you've got to do reprogramming of the unconscious mind. And there are various methods for that, which I mentioned in that Alcatraz CD. And basically, it's my favorites are things like Vipassana meditation, where you go, and that, for people wanting to find that online, it's their website is dhamma.org, dhamma.org. It's VIPASSANA meditation, Vipassana meditation. That is a phenomenal technique that reportedly Buddha used to attain enlightenment. And you go to these centers and you take a 10-day sit and you take a vow of silence and you don't talk for 10 days. Hmm. You don't communicate in any way, shape, or form with anybody else. You go within and you meditate about 12 hours a day, anywhere from 1 to 4 hours at a time. And it's not easy to do, but it will rock your world at a very deep and profound level, and it will release all kinds of things that are limiting you and holding you back. Another favorite of mine is Landmark Education. Mm-hmm. That's a phenomenal program for shifting. There's other things like breath work and body work. There's lots of different methods, but seek out emotional healing and reprogramming of the unconscious mind. reprogramming the unconscious mind is kind of like learning an instrument. You have to, you know, practice every day. You have to do things like affirmations and things to shift old, burned-in beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's we had Bruce Lipton on the show, and he talked a lot about that. And I know you're familiar with his work, and you know a lot of people are working on this because it's you know it's a major source, I think, that people need to focus on, because we're being subconsciously programmed with, you know, the colors on the TV, how quick the images fade from one to another, the news stories, what they're saying. There's so many ways.
I have a question for Ken, though. I'm just so curious. Is it possible to do this kind of work, have this kind of enlightened experience, and be able to see things as they really are and still be entertained by TV or the movies? Or is it just better, in your opinion, to ditch it all and focus more on other things?
In my case, I would say that my taste in entertainment has changed. So, like,
yeah,
you know, 95% of, say, what's on Netflix or in the movie theaters, I never go to movies much anymore, because I always know it's just going to be – Hollywood's become so controlled and contrived. It's always mind control and it's trauma. Mm-hmm. So that stuff just doesn't entertain me, particularly when you understand that, for example, like, my real life is way more interesting than any movie. I mean, I just have the most unbelievable things happen all the time.
Totally.
I meet incredible scientists and gurus and swamis. You know, my life is way more interesting than anything Hollywood can come up with. And that's the way life is when you let go of all this fear and you start attracting what you really want. You know, I was just a few months ago, I was up in North Carolina, did a talk, and this guy invited me to come hang out afterwards. It turns out he's a yogi, and he showed me how to create a black hole in a room with my hands. And then he did all these tricks with it where he, you know, we created this black hole, and it was like this spot in the room that was cold and it was absorbing heat. And then he'd take a piece of it and he gave it to my wife and put it in her hands, and she walked away with it. And then he had her push on it with her hand. And from like 20 feet away, when she pushed on the piece that she had, it would make the one in my hands expand. Now, that's way more interesting than anything on Netflix. And that's just one little thing. You know,
so, it is, right? I mean, like, maybe not as much as Star Wars. But
I was going
right
to say it's
there.
Pretty close. Well,
exactly.
And it's real life.
The stuff in Star Wars is real. From the standpoint that, like, those Jedi tricks that they show in those movies, there are people that can really do that.
Mm.
And if you, for example, on Gaiam TV, there, David Wilcock has been doing these interviews with a guy named Corey Good.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey Good is talking about his experience in this secret space program and how they had these soldiers trained like Jedi that could knock steel doors down with their minds.
Oh.
So that is the capability of the human mind that the powers that be don't want us to know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you let go of the programming and the fear and you develop yourself, you have that ability. Not that you want to go knocking doors down, but you have the ability to create an incredible life. And when it's based in love and not fear, then you just attract more and more and more wonderful, loving, uplifting things in your life.
So at this point, you're using food as, you know, a lot of people think food, oh, that's the end all be all. How could you talk about food all day? I don't want to focus on food.
Hmm.
But you're using food as a conduit, as a medium to something else, right?
Yeah, and food isn't the be all and end all. You know, the most important thing is the mind and the emotions. The most important thing is clearing the emotions of trauma and clearing the unconscious mind of limiting beliefs and self-destructive beliefs. Most people have lots and lots of self-destructive beliefs, and so they go around sabotaging themselves all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when you let go of that, it's like life becomes effortless and you wind up manifesting things so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the most important thing. But the food, you know, we are three-dimensional physical beings, and so you can do things with just the mind, and you can do things energetically, but you have to develop the mind and the emotions to a great degree before you can get any profound effects with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like 10, 15 years of meditation, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no short circuit around those lessons. You know, there are people, I've met many people who have attempted to take alchemical ormus and ingesting it, thinking they're going to jack up the superconductivity in the body and, you know, be able to roll through life easily. And they always wind up creating major problems for themselves, because if you're not spiritually ready for that kind of increase in the body, then you wind up manifesting your worst nightmares, because you can't maintain these loving thoughts and let go of the fear. So you wind up manifesting fearful stuff. Mm-hmm. So you got to do the work, but it is the mind and the emotions releasing trauma and releasing limiting and self-defeating beliefs are the most important things. And then the food is the vehicle for the physical body to accelerate all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I think one of the biggest things people can do is just to turn off the television as a sort of first step. And you can always use food, these sort of Ormus elements and these scalar energies and things like that to support you. But I mean, it almost seemed to me to be counterproductive to be eating a really healthy diet. I mean, it's not counterproductive because the diet does help, but I would never consider eating an incredibly healthy diet full of Ormus and all kinds of great minerals and things. And then still watch, 2 hours of nightly news every night. It just wouldn't go together.
Exactly. Well, and it's uncomfortable to do so. You know, it's like when I travel and I'm stuck in airports, it really, really grates on my nerves to have to hear television running in those airports because it's just so full of negativity and fear, and it's a constant stream of it. Mm-hmm. And when you're not used to that, when you're used to being around uplifting and loving people and events all the time, and then you hear all this negative nonsense and fear, 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 and limitation, it really is grating on the nerves.
It is, isn't it?
So, you know, it's like there's nothing much on Netflix, for example, that would interest me. I got a little internet media streaming device just so I could watch Gaiam TV, because Gaiam TV has a lot of amazing, empowering stuff on mm-hmm. it. But And also, you know, I'm actually doing things with my life. I'm actually living and doing things. And that's far more interesting than sitting around watching somebody else doing something that is far more limited and less interesting than what I'm doing all the time.
We always say that very same thing. We think, how boring. Like sometimes at dinner even, we start something, watching some silly show while we're eating. And we end up turning it off 2 minutes into it because we had a thought. And then that thought turns into a 2-hour conversation. And we say, how can people sit around here? Our life is just so much more fascinating. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. blessed to be one of the people that think that and believe that. But
yeah,
it is. It's too exciting in our real reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like what passes for comedy on these.
Right.
TV programs and stuff. It's right. Like, that is not funny. I know hilarious people.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I love goofing around. I mean, that's a big part of my life is just joking around and goofing around on people. And it's way more funny and interesting than most comedians on TV.
I agree. I totally agree. I wanted to ask you, what are your, being down in Florida, what do you make of the Venus Project?
I love the Venus Project. That's Jacques Fresco. I went down there, must have been last summer, mm-hmm. and I'm going back for Jacques Fresco's birthday in March. For those that aren't familiar, the Venus Project is the vision of a man named Jacques Fresco, who was a social engineer and an inventor and just a brilliant, brilliant man who developed a lot of inventions that we use all the time. But he had a vision for how we could have sustainable communities that aren't, that don't, let's say, cramp the average American's lifestyle. In fact, it would radically enhance it. And so he created these models and plans. And so he has this place in Venus, Florida, which is down in South Florida, out in the country, where he's got all these futuristic dome buildings and plans, and he does demonstrations, and they explain this vision that he has for how we could have these sustainable cities, and how computer technology combined with a little bit of direction would negate the need to have centralized governments. And so it's a really incredible model. They've actually got a 90-minute documentary about him on Netflix. I don't remember the name of it.
Oh, wow.
But I love Jacques Fresco.
Yeah, he's got to be... Oh, is he over 100 now?
Yeah, I think he's going to be 100 in March.
Wow.
Gee.
Gosh, what's his... I wonder what his diet is like. Is he ingesting these...
I saw a little bit of what he was eating, and it's predominantly, if not totally vegetarian. I wouldn't say it's like a living foods diet, although his partner of many years, she definitely is into raw and living foods. Okay. So I suspect that she's had an influence on his diet.
Have you been, speaking of South Florida, because I've never been down there, but we've been down to the Coral Castle. Have you been down there?
Yeah.
A fascinating place, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got a friend who reverse engineered Egyptian technology and did some interesting things with it, and he was telling me about the technology. But yeah, there was a man, for those not familiar, there was a man named Ed Lee Scallion or Scallion, mm-hmm. who, gosh, I think it was back in the 1930s or 40s, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe 50s. He built this castle out of coquina stone, and I mean, it was just gigantic. And apparently, he did it. He was a very small man, but he cut all these large stones and put them into place and built this castle himself with no help. Mm-hmm. And he claimed that he had figured out the methods the Egyptians used for levitating and cutting stone and making it soft. And my friend who has worked with Egyptian technology said that he believed it was using either scalar waves or sound to make the stone become very soft and very light, so mm-hmm. it could be cut very easily and it could be lifted very easily, and then it can be re-solidified. And I see a lot of evidence for that with a lot of these sacred sites around the world, like the pyramids, for example, in Egypt. Mm-hmm. You know, they are always wondering how these pyramids were built, and these other structures like Machu Picchu, where the stones fit so closely together that you can't slip a credit card in between them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Nassim Harriman and others have pointed out evidence that these stones appear to be cast like concrete because they're finding human hairs and things inside of them, and yet they are molecularly like stone. And I think what's been going on is that they, at least in some cases, they cast these blocks just like concrete, and then they use scalar energy or sound to harden them up and change their atomic structure so that they're much more like stone.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah, there's stories or legend of kids seeing Ed Lee Scallion move stones in the middle of the night like balloons. And apparently he changed the location, too, of the Coral Castle.
I think publicly he claimed it was so that he would have more privacy, but my belief is it was because the ley line that he built it on had shifted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And actually that ley line now is going right through my town here in New Smyrna Beach. The way these ley lines work, you actually, at the center of the earth, you've got this singularity or this black hole, white hole combination, and it's emanating scalar waves, mm-hmm. massive amounts of scalar waves. And when it comes to the surface, it passes through the mantle with all of the crystalline structure and a rock structure, and those crystals modulate the frequencies of the energy coming through. And when you have structures like volcanoes or mountains that are made of this volcanic rock, it will alter the frequencies of these scalar waves. And at the mountain tips, you'll get this vortex of the scalar energy coming out, and it has a lot of interesting effects. And the gravitation and the rotation of the earth will actually pull those vortexes down across the surface of the earth. And that's what people call ley lines. They're simply these scalar vortexes that are coming up out of the surface of the earth at certain points, mm-hmm. that relate to the geometry of the black hole, the singularity at the center of the earth. And so anyway, all across the planet, you've got this grid structure of these scalar vortexes coming out, and then they're bent down across the surface of the earth between gravitation and the rotation of the earth. And anywhere that those lines are going across the surface, when you're in proximity to them, they're very beneficial to living organisms. And you can actually capture that energy and do things with it, like build a pyramid and you can create free energy with it, or you can clear, let's say, chemtrails out of the sky, or clear pollution out of the sky, or stop earthquakes, a whole slew of things.
So you feel that the ley line is running through your city or town? Or
it's, yeah, according to people that I know who've measured this stuff, the ley line coming out of Mount Shasta in California, which is the largest one in the United States, is coming right through our town.
Really? So how do they measure that, I wonder?
Well, there are people, particularly within secret government programs, who can measure scalar energy.
Hmm. Wow. And so the ley line is a scalar sort of frequency, and then they can measure that.
Right. It's scalar waves. And if you want to learn how to detect them yourself, you can study the work of Nikolai Kozyrev. And also, he was a Russian scientist, and also German scientist Konstantin Meil, M-E-Y-L. And if you study their information, you can learn kind of simple methods that you can do to detect these skater waves.
Yeah, because I've heard the Archons are living underneath the, what is it?
Underneath Shasta?
Mount Shasta, yeah.
The lava tubes.
Yeah. I've been
told by more than one psychic that there are some scientists living in those lava tubes, some, let's say, ET scientists that are have been feeding me information. And I would tend to agree with that from what I've seen.
Yeah, there's something super weird about Shasta, isn't there?
Yeah, I think... Well, if you look at these interviews with Corey Good that David Wilcock is doing, he's been saying that there are some civilizations around the planet that lived deep underground underneath some of these mountains in these lava tubes that are gigantic, these huge caverns where entire cities can live, mm-hmm. and that they've developed these civilizations from many millennia ago when, I guess, the Earth was going through part of the cosmos where the surface of the Earth was damaged. So these races went underground and developed underground, and they have anti-gravity spaceflight capability, and they presented themselves at times to our government and other governments as ETs when they really aren't ETs. But he claims that there's all these civilizations living in certain parts, like under the Himalayas and under Mount Shasta and various places. And I've actually got a friend who said she's encountered one of these beings from underneath Mount Shasta. So there's a lot of interesting stories around that.
Wow. So fascinating.
But for sure, they're definitely they're like a pyramid. They're vortexes of skater energy.
Are you familiar with the work of Judge David Wynn Miller?
The name is not familiar.
Okay, I'm in the middle of a 9-hour lecture that he gave on YouTube, and it's he talks about quantum grammar. I'll send you the link after the show.
Okay.
Fascinating guy. I don't know if he's completely crazy or what, but. The types of things he's talking about is much along the lines of this. But I wanted to ask you before we leave, you were talking in your notes here that you sent over to me. You talked about a way of bringing back extinct species with scalar energy.
No way.
Yeah. There's a Russian physicist who is a high-level military who was, he's got a multi-million-dollar budget. And when the Cold War slowed down a little bit, he... started studying pyramids. His name is Alexander Golod, G-O-L-O-D. And he wound up discovering, for example, that all of the pyramids, the ancient pyramids around the planet, are part of one planetary skater energy grid system. Mm-hmm. That whoever developed them, even though they've been developed by different cultures over different times, overall somebody orchestrated their construction as a system, and that somebody had to have had, at the very least, air flight capability, if not space travel capability. Mm-hmm. And he figured out all these different applications for pyramids, and he wound up building a 144-foot-high pyramid outside of Moscow and discovered that it had all these amazing benefits, including neutralizing radioactivity and healing people that would go inside of them, where they could program crystals with it, put crystals inside of it, and then give it the crystal to somebody, and it would heal them. It would make oil wells flow better. It would make groundwater pop up all over the surface of in the area for miles around. It would neutralize pollutants and radioactivity in the atmosphere and in the groundwater. But the most interesting one was they discovered his pyramid was growing. It was built in this really huge field, and they discovered these flowers growing in the field no one had ever seen before. So they called a botanist in to identify them and discovered that those flowers had been extinct on Earth for 11 million years. And so Golod theorized that the skater waves that this pyramid was bringing in were somehow recreating from the quantum field, or from what some people might call the Akashic Records, taking the pattern of that flower and bringing it back into existence. And so that, when I saw that, that told me that we have the potential to bring back extinct species.
That's wild. Which
we may need to do the way things are going.
Yeah, it's the idea that nothing can be created or destroyed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fascinating. Because it makes sense, right? I mean, how can anything really be completely gone? I mean, the resonant frequency and the vibration and the energetic components that make up all of us, the magnetic frequencies and all of that, has got to be somewhere, right?
Right, and particularly, you know, I've had a couple of times I've had near-death experiences and actually left my body, and so personally I know that this body of ours is just a container for our consciousness. And so when you have those kinds of experiences and lessons, then you realize that, yeah, you know, we're just in this three-dimensional reality. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's not like G. Gordon Liddy once said after he got out of prison for the Watergate break-ins. He was on David Letterman, and he said, we're all just food for the worms, meaning that, you know, once you die, that's it. There's no more you. Hmm. And my experience has indicated otherwise. So, so yeah, and of course, if you look at how matter and energy work and what we can observe and measure, it's not able to be created or destroyed. It's just changed from one form to another.
Just changes physical representations, I guess. Speaking of pyramids, tell people about, because we mentioned this a little bit. But your rest shield, you have some of those. And something also interesting, the Pong cell phone tablet EMF cases, since everyone has cell phones these days. Tell people a little bit about these things.
Okay. Well, the electromagnetic radiation that cell phones and computers and any kind of wireless technology puts off, microwave ovens, all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Those waves, they pass through the body and they interfere with cellular communication. So, and in extreme cases, you know, when you're using the cell phone a lot and those kinds of things, it can interfere to the point where you wind up getting disease or even things like cancer from it. Mm-hmm. And so, in order to avoid that, of course, you want to limit use. But also, you can create scalar fields that will structure that chaotic energy that's bouncing around all over the place, and you can make those waves become coherent by immersing them in a scalar field. And so my devices put out a scalar field of a certain frequency that's very healing to the body and very relaxing and de-stressful. So it slows brainwave states down, and it makes EMF around you become, those waves become coherent. So when they're passing through the body, it's kind of like a stealth airplane. They're all coming at you from one angle, and they're all parallel to each other, so when they pass through the cells, they make much less noise. And so it's kind of like when if you're listening to a radio and there's static on the radio station, if there's not much static, you know, you can keep listening, no problem. But if the static gets to be too much, it's kind of pointless. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's going on in the body all the time. So when you're exposing yourself to cell phones and Wi-Fi and, you know, all this EMF, smart meters, mm-hmm. then the cells can't hear each other and you wind up getting disease and accelerated decrepitude and things like that. Mm-hmm. So the rest shield protects against the EMF. It slows down the brainwave state. So when you go to sleep at night, it doesn't make you sleepy, but when you fall asleep, it pulls you into the deepest brainwave states of delta and theta and gamma, so that you get really good quality sleep.
So it's actually emitting the scalar waves, right?
Most people are not getting into deep sleep these days.
So it's actually emitting the scalar wave frequency from it, right?
Right.
Fascinating.
Wow.
And also,
it does two things. It puts out a vortex of scalar energy through the tip and the field around it. And that field pulses at a frequency called the Schumann resonance that the Earth used to pulse at, but now it's accelerated to about double.
Hmm.
Really? So it was that, wasn't it like 7.7 hertz or something, and now it's doubled?
It's supposed to be about 7.83 hertz, and it's up close to, it's a little bit over 15 now, the natural Schumann resonance.
And so that is as a result of, what do you think, Wi-Fi or...?
Well, it's a result of a combination of the man-made electric grid and EMF on the planet, but it's also from the area we're passing through in the galaxy is increasing the Schumann resonance naturally. However, you know, people will often ask me, you know, well, doesn't that mean that this shift that we're going through in the cosmos is accelerating the Schumann resonance? Isn't that part of our ascension process and it's elevating consciousness? And my answer to that is no, because when you measure what's going on in human bodies and brains, it's a stress response that occurs from those accelerated Schumann resonances. When you put a person or a plant or an animal or a microbe in an old Schumann resonance pulse scalar field, they de-stress and they're much more healthy and they're much stronger and they function much better. So I don't believe at all that this shift in the Schumann resonance is a good one.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah, that's very important to be connected to that, because that is what sort of bounces in between, right? The the actual crust of the Earth and the ionosphere, I think?
Right. It's energy coming, what scientists would call cosmic energy. It's scalar waves coming down from the sun and from other suns and planets, and light energy and other energy, and it bounces down, hits the surface of the Earth, bounces back up, hits the ionosphere, and then it just keeps bouncing back and forth between the two of them, 24/7 around the Earth. And when it's operating at the original 7.83, that de-stresses all living organisms and it gets them into deep sleep and deep rest states. But everyone is being stressed at a low level because of the accelerated Schumann resonance.
Now, can you take that thing on the plane, or it needs to be plugged in, right?
It needs to be plugged in. It doesn't work on a plane, but I have a device called a stress shield that hasn't been on the market for a few years because I've wanted to change it and update it, and we're working on that now. So sometime in 2016, most likely in the first half of 2016, we'll have a portable one that you can carry with you.
Oh, awesome. Nice.
Yeah, because flying is, as you were saying before the show, so
yeah,
taxing.
And by the way, I was talking to Patrick Flanagan a while ago. And you know, Patrick Flanagan is a brilliant scientist for the folks who aren't familiar with him. And he's got a $20,000 Geiger counter, basically, that he's been going around and measuring radioactivity in the atmosphere. And he said that it's gotten so high in the upper atmosphere now, even in the southern hemispheres, it doesn't matter. Flying is very dangerous, he said. He won't fly unless it's an emergency. And so people need to be aware of that. We still have solutions for that stuff. You know, we've got supplements, for example, on my website that will neutralize radioactivity in the body and protects against EMF and other things. So I have trimmed back my flying quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And I make sure that whenever I do fly, I take things before, during, and after to protect myself.
And it's usually, I've heard, better to fly at night. Is that right? Because there's less radiation?
No, it doesn't make any difference whether it's night or day. Well, you're getting less cosmic radiation from outside of the atmosphere, but it doesn't make one bit of a difference as far as the radioactivity from, you know, Fukushima and other events.
Right, right. I was just thinking more. I think I heard someone say once the
sun hitting the metal.
Yeah,
frying you.
Well, that's cosmic radiation is true, but the bigger concern now is like neutrino radiation. Patrick Flanagan told me that the neutrino radiation in the atmosphere is astronomical, and that's the most deadly thing you've got to worry about now when flying.
What is called neutrino?
Yeah, neutrino radioactivity. It comes from, well, it can come from different sources, but in this case, it's coming from Fukushima and probably Chernobyl, and it's a deadly form of radioactivity.
Sounds like an artificial sweetener.
Yeah.
Neutrino.
Neutrino.
Yeah.
Dump some of that in your coffee. You won't be too happy.
It's bad news.
I know. That's bad news. So what are you up to?
Neutrinos are toxic, but the ones coming off of radioactive reactors are.
What's that?
Not all neutrinos. There are different types and frequencies of neutrino radiation, but the ones coming off of Fukushima are deadly.
Okay. Mm. So what are you up to this for 2016? You said before the show you're going to be doing a couple conferences and things. And
yeah, I'm doing far fewer live events these days than I have in the past. So let's see. On January 19th, I'm going to be doing a talk in Gainesville, Florida. And then in April, early April, I'm going to be out your way in Los Angeles at the 5D Nirvana event. Doing a presentation about what we're talking about how to maintain health in an era of biowarfare, GMOs, and geoengineering. Because, for example, you can revert GMOs back into heirlooms, and that's something that Monsanto really doesn't want people to know about. So I'll be covering those kinds of things. And I'll also be in Philadelphia in mid-April at a conference there doing a talk as well.
And do you have a link on your website? I'm going through here of your events. There it is, events. Okay.
Yeah, the events page. For those that want to go directly to it, it's events with an S, events.freshandalive.com.
How fun. So you're doing less traveling, but still the ones you are doing sounds like a lot of fun to go to.
Yeah, and I'll be doing more online stuff. I'll be doing more webinars and things. People want me to teach certain things. For example, how to clear chemtrails out of the sky. I show people how to make their own scalar energy devices for clearing chemtrails for like 30 to 50 mile diameter.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, we have them all the time.
GMO DNA. You know, you can actually feed GMO plants these ormus minerals, and they'll revert back to the heirlooms.
Wow. GMO plants or Ormus minerals. And how long does it take to do that?
Typically a few weeks.
Really?
Holy moly.
You feed Ormus minerals to GMO plants, and they will revert back to the original heirloom DNA. And so, you'll see the plant physically change. It's mind-blowing.
So it's almost as if like the plant is just screaming out to wants to go back to its original state, right?
Yeah, because, well, the reason is because the genetic blueprint is not in the DNA. We've all been told that the DNA is a genetic blueprint. Well, it's not. It's the carrier of the genetic blueprint. The actual blueprint is in consciousness itself, and that's why it can't be destroyed. The DNA is a superconducting antenna that picks up the genetic blueprint from the consciousness of the being and then creates it or creates the mechanism in the physical structure to pattern it by. So if you raise the superconductivity in the DNA, it will unwind from its genetically manipulated version to the original that the consciousness is transmitting.
Wow. So the DNA, like you said, is just a antenna for picking up a specific, I guess, frequency of what the actual expression is going to be.
That's it. The DNA is a superconducting antenna, and it's loaded with these Ormus minerals.
Oh, one day our scientists will finally catch on, won't they?
Yeah, they're starting to. It's like, and you know, if this sounds like a bunch of New Age nonsense to people, you can actually Google superconductivity in your genes, and you can see scientific papers about this. Scientists, like heavy-duty scientists, are writing in journals now about this, so it's not just me saying it. Mm.
So it's superconductivity in your genes?
Yeah.
We'll put a link in the show notes to that, to your genes. Wow.
Yeah, there's I think phys.org, one of the physics journals, has several articles about superconductivity in DNA.
Wow. So much fun stuff out there. I tell you, you need like 30 lives to go through all this.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, that's why usually, you know, when I can teach about this stuff and I don't have time constraints, it's usually about a 4-hour presentation.
Really?
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, and you probably just barely still scratch the surface, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going fast. There's always tons more. I mean, there's so much stuff that I've learned over the years that I teach. So I teach people how to grow nutrient dense food, and, you know, high Ormus food, and how to make their own medicines and superfoods and those kinds of things. There's tons of this stuff. How to build your own pyramids to neutralize radioactivity or clear chemtrails. You know, there's lots and lots of really cool applications of this stuff.
So much fun, you know. I mean,
I'm glad there's a need for it. I'm glad people are wanting this stuff.
There's just so much information, the new information coming out all the time, people learning new things, people making breakthroughs. And to stay on the cutting edge, like you said, I mean, why would you waste your time spending 2 hours at a movie that's not even funny when you can be out doing this kind of stuff, you know?
Exactly. It's like a friend of mine was asking me, oh, have you seen the movie The Martian? And I was like, no, and I looked at the trailer for it, and it didn't interest me at all, because like, God, I've actually encountered real ETs, so it's like, you know, this is like lame compared to that.
That is so funny.
You know, or meeting other people who have encountered ETs, it's like talking to them is way more interesting than watching The Martian, which is all propaganda and fear-based anyway.
I know. Well, thanks so much, Ken, for spending some time with us. We went over an hour. I hope that was okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. My pleasure.
Thank you.
And, so fun.
People want to find you. It's freshandalive.com. That's the best way?
Yes.
Awesome. And you have a Facebook site. Looks like you have some Twitter, and people can follow you and stay up to date with your Facebook feed.
Yep. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel. And I've got a blog, freshandaliveblog.com.
Oh, cool.
And that's where most of my stuff gets posted, my new stuff. For example, this interview will be posted there.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
Thanks,
all right.
Ken.
Well, thanks, Ken, for spending some time with us. I'm going to close out the live show. Hang on the line there, and I'll be right back after the live show. But I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room. We really appreciate it. And thanks for sharing this show with your friends. Ken and Kate and I would appreciate it. If you know of anybody that might benefit from this type of information, please pass it on to them and share it in your Facebook feed or however you want to share it. We'd appreciate that. And we appreciate you guys for listening live and being in the chat room and being involved and making friends. So thank you so much. We do broadcast live every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Next week, I think it's going to be Laura Powers. I think so.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have her on, and so stay tuned for that.
Susan Powder. Isn't she the workout queen?
The workout queen with the white hair from
Laura
the 80s?
Powder.
Laura Powder. It's very similar, very similar. Laura Powers. So we'll have her on next Friday. And so thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Awesome. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks,
you rock.
Thanks, Ken.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you all, and I'll see you in April.
Woo-hoo, awesome. Sounds look great. Forward to it.
All right.
Okay,
take
bye.
Care.
Bye.
All right. I'll see you.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye.
All right, Mr. Ken Rolla. That was pretty fascinating, wasn't it?
Holy mackerel.
Did you see I went to the bathroom during the show? And
Well, I didn't see you going to the bathroom.
You didn't see me
no,
do that.
No, I didn't see that. see you get up and leave, yes.
I was just like, I got to hurry up because I don't want to miss anything.
You don't want to.
So good.
I know. I had to take my headphones off for a second to go let Maggie in. Halfway during the show too, and I thought, and I came back and he was talking about some car being powered by water, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Or maybe you heard that on your way out. Either way, it was something I didn't want to. It's like I want to go back and listen to that show.
Yeah.
I don't listen to all of them again because I feel like I soaked up a lot of them when we were actually, you know, live recording. But that's one that I'm going to process for a long time to come.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Back in the studio, April 6th, I think it is.
April 6th, 11 a.m.
He'll be in studio, and that one will be video. But
holy moly,
man! We spent about a half hour with him off the air, and he was sharing some things with us that, oh my goodness, we can't even say what they were off air. But man, is that guy?
Ooh,
that guy is switched on. I still trip out when people are as switched on as him. I often wonder why is it that people that are, if you were to go to like a yoga crowd or meditation circle, most likely all of them are some sort of dietary component to what they're doing. They're not, they're not just eating regular food and then if you take people that are into diet and they're not into all that stuff, they're also, but they're ones that are interested in this kind of scalar energy stuff. So what is it about? This must be something with this diet that causes, like he said.
I think he explained it really well.
Yeah.
I mean, his opinion, I tend to agree with that. It does seem to be a conduit and a door that opens to, if you want to call it higher consciousness or.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think about the ley lines and all that?
Oh, I totally believe in them. It was interesting how. I do. Why are you laughing?
No, it's funny because I've never seen a ley line, but I mean, it makes sense.
Well, there's just too many weird things, structures, strange things that have happened on all these supposed lines. I mean, I guess you could have a bunch of people just saying, hey, this is where a pyramid was built. Let's call it a ley line. Or here's where this guy, Edley Scallon, made the Coral Castle happen. We'll just assume there's something magical about that place. But you and I have watched, I think, a few things, and especially probably more than a few over the years, and they're either documentaries or stuff on YouTube about, you know, apparently these things that are found on these lines. And I mean, it does seem to have a lot of validity to it, whether it's a, you know, something found on the bottom of the ocean floor from a civilization or a glass pyramid built under the water. I mean, there's stuff going on at these points on this grid around the earth, or if you believe it's round, or along the earth, whatever case, it does seem to be true. So, well, I wonder if you take that a step further, a flat earth versus a round earth, like a globe, could ley lines still have the same effect if they're not wrapping around?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I would have think so.
It's just like a grid, like
if
any kind of a grid.
If flat and not a ball.
I really believe in them. I mean, I think there's too many bizarre things about, you know, people talking about things like Mount Shasta. This magic that's created and vortex. I mean, my gosh, he was talking on the show about, you know, creating a black hole.
Dude.
Harnessing, it's funny, Paul, one of our awesome listeners in the chat room, posted a link to how to make your own black hole.
No way. Okay, I'll grab the links from the chat room and put them in the show page, too.
So our friend Amber Marie responded with, yeah, if I had $1 million laying around. So I have no idea if it's something that's just ridiculous or if you had that much money, you could actually do that. But I'm thinking, if you're able to create a black hole and hold parts of it in your hands and you know, create this warmth out of this. I mean, it's just, sky's the limit. sky is the limit with what you can do, what you can harness, and what's really going on. If you could gather the source of this energy and knowledge and apply it to everyday living. I mean, you could create a tornado in your bedroom, I'm sure, if you wanted, and blow your roof off your house.
Well, that's why people, you know, some people just want to do that. Some people, hey, I want to blow the roof off my house today. No, but some people are really interested. That's the whole reason why there's all this, all these people talking about vortexing water.
Yeah.
Because not just because of the structure of it, but it creates like a zero point energy. The zero point is apparently some multidimensional plane of existence that is not bound by space or time.
Mm.
And so it can be created through magnetic technology. Using magnets on the outside of like a vortex or like a vitalizer, like the ones we have on our store.
What's that? The vitalizer plus.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's stuff going on that we don't know about. And just because we don't know about it doesn't mean that it's not true.
Mm.
And so we're just talking about out in the kitchen before we recorded this was that like it seems crazy. And he even admits people would call him crazy back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It seems crazy, but what does that even mean? Like, what does crazy mean? It's
right.
only in relation to something that we have been told our whole life.
Mm.
So if it doesn't exist within your worldview that you've been spoon-fed your whole life, is it crazy or is it possible that the worldview itself that you've been told is crazy? Or is there no such thing? It's just different versions of reality. One version of reality is what they teach you in school, and another version of reality is what goes on in Ken's head.
I like Ken's head reality version. That's really fun. Yeah. It's a lot more fun.
Yeah, right?
Than I ever thought it could be.
Because potential exists in that world. Potential exists.
Right, potential.
And answers exist.
Right.
You're driving around on water, you know?
Yeah. I love Ken because I can't wait to meet him in person. He's so cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
But not only is he positive, he's kind of laughing. He's like, yeah, I've had death threats and all these people are in jail and death threats, but we're just here to have a good time. Like,
yeah, I'm just here to have fun, joke around with my friends.
It's fun. He's like, how can we best... I think when you got up to go to the bathroom, I asked him a question about that awesome DVD that I want to get of his, the Alcatraz one.
Yeah, I missed that. What was that about?
Fresh and Alive, Escape from Alcatraz, Breaking Free of Your Mind Prison.
Oh, I don't need that. I've never been programmed.
No. Didn't you laugh when he said like a lot of people don't even know?
Yeah.
So he writes in this, think you're open-minded, think you're free, think your thoughts are your own. Do you wish for big changes in your life, but actually get little change? Law of attraction, not getting you where you want to be, on a slow boat to China when you'd rather be on a supersonic flight to Paris. Is your health or happiness lacking? All health, wealth, success, and happiness starts in the mind and emotions. In this recording of a live talk by Ken Rolla, you'll learn about mind control, how governments, corporations, and others are manufacturing your reality, and how to break free from the mind prison you and others have created for yourself. Learn how to create a new reality of greater health, abundance, happiness, love, and self-determination.
Nice.
This is one talk you won't want to miss, and you won't hear anyone else. Isn't that cool? It says, have a pen and paper ready handy. Have the paper and writing instrument handy. Ken always hands out a very lot of specific, useful information.
Oh, cool.
But I just want to, because when you left, he was talking about that, and he put it in such a beautiful way. Again, I want to go back and listen to it about losing my train of thought. Oh, shoot. I had it all.
Protecting yourself or not being mind controlled?
It's something about mind control. Basically how we're here to have a good time, but we're here to free ourselves to have a good time. But the way he explained it was just like nobody should be living in this kind of psychological prison we put ourselves in.
Wow, that sounds cool.
It's pretty cool.
I should pick that one up. That sounds really cool.
So yeah, good interview, man.
So he is contacted by aliens. I've never had an alien contact me. Maybe I'm just not... they're not interested in me.
Maybe you're too boring.
Maybe I'm too boring.
I don't think you're too boring, but...
For the aliens.
Maybe they think.
Yeah, fascinating guy. He's got some great stuff on his website, that stress shield pyramid you can take a look at. And, it's got a bunch of food and supplements and things like that. And so we'll put the links, too, to... the radiation links he's put together and everything else. How many links were shared in the chat room? Did people share just that one?
Gosh, I X'd out of it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
There was another one. There's a couple. We have to go back.
Yeah, I think it all starts with breaking free the matrix starts with protecting yourself from exposure to the things that are programming you. And that, for me, I think it's number one TV.
Yeah.
People just got to stop watching TV.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Unless it's Star Wars.
Well, a movie, something like that. And there's no commercial. I mean, there is kind of commercials, but...
I love, though, that, like, for some reason, like, Star Wars, the one that just came out, is the biggest grossing movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he was saying there's a lot of truth about that in the mind control world, you know?
Oh, like the Force and all that?
Yeah, you know how she was, like, whenever the main character was stuck in that chair and they were going to torture her, and she literally told out loud the stormtrooper to drop his...
Oh, right.
To let her free and drop his gun and leave, and he did. And I thought, wow, it's interesting that stuff like that could leak out. It's basically telling us, foreshadowing, like, you have the power, it's all in you.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
So, I don't know. You were doing that with your pen, and I can't concentrate.
Oh, was that
yeah, it's throwing me off. Like, oh. I lose my train of thought.
Well, that's what they talk about in the MK Ultra.
What's that one?
That's a lot of that mind control stuff, as far as I remember. That's all that stuff from Project Camelot, and all that sort of mind control stuff they talk about. All that stuff with the kidnapping of the kids, you know, and all that, how they say that's all fake, or the harvesting. You have this theory of them harvesting people to be part of Sandy Hook.
I think they are. I think they're growing people in bunkers and FEMA camps. That's why they won't let us on the grounds. And I think they're placing people in these crisis actor situations. They're just trained their whole life to come and do this role, and they're so good at it, and then they kind of disappear, and they look like a real human, they act like a real human.
Yeah, maybe the crisis actors are just sort of half alien people. They've reptilians grown in these FEMA camps. What do they call those?
FEMA camps.
Are they just FEMA camps? Mm-hmm. The ones, the bunkers and all that David Icke talks about?
I think so.
Where, maybe they're just half sort of hybrid people that become, like, I was telling you this before, who would sign up to be a crisis actor?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't understand how that's even possible if you're a regular human being. Like, okay, I'm going to sign up to act like I saw a plane fly into a building in New York in September 11th. Like, I don't know how you could, I mean, how does one go about actually signing up and filling out an application and getting paid for that?
Right.
But then how does the money transfer happen for that person?
If there's not money? Just like a psychological warfare or threats,
you know, maybe they're all
fear.
Like just Star Wars. Like these people are just,
wouldn't surprise me at all. They come to do this mission. They think they're doing the right thing. They're
trained.
They're
controlled by the Force or whatever.
You never know. You never know. I don't know. I just wouldn't be surprised. I you know, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, growing people in eggs or petri dishes or whatever. And it's like, they're already doing all this stuff. I mean, they're able to mess with people's genetics and grow people, you know, with sperm donors and in vitro type stuff. I mean, whoa. I don't think we get half of the science handed to us. We don't know what they're working on. No. I mean, you could take a sperm and an egg and grow it inside of an ape and have a human being turn out. That's not really human, but kind of, or maybe all.
And then
I don't know.
Manipulate,
like,
that DNA.
Why can they not do things like that? I mean, I'm not saying that God's not the creator of life, but I think it's been greatly manipulated, and I don't think that we're hearing half of what's going on. So sure, why not create a people?
I mean, if
you know,
I
why
were,
can't you create people?
If I were at the highest levels of government, I would do that.
Totally.
I mean, you know, I mean, I guess I would say if I were at the highest levels and I were unconscious like they are, I would do that, because there would be nothing but curiosity that would just fill my mind as to what would happen if I created two beings and, you know, created a human with a baboon and see what that made. And I mean, if someone like me would be moderately interested in that, you have to think that these completely unconscious people that are in the highest levels of government
with all the money in the world
would do that. Yeah.
Right. It's hard to believe they wouldn't, but.
But in the meantime, we live in a pretty good world, I have to say, right?
Yeah, we do.
We have access to everything.
We do. Yeah, we can go and get our miracle tarts right out of our refrigerator that keeps our food cold.
That's true.
Keeps us. I mean, we had a huge rainstorm the last few days for California, and
mm-hmm.
I walked in, and I just one day after walking Maggie on a short break of the rain, and I thought, gosh, I just can't believe we have a house over our head, a roof over our head.
It's great.
Like, it was just the simple pleasures of mm-hmm. returning to the joy of being provided for, and, you know, having a heater to turn on. And
mm-hmm.
sure, we had a roof leak, but most of the 99.9% of our roof was working right. You know, mm-hmm. just a small pinhole that wasn't. And I thought, wow, we are just so blessed compared to everywhere else in the world.
You
got to
remind
are.
Yourself of that, you know.
A ton of opportunity
Yeah.
I feel like with opportunity comes a bunch of obstacles, but with every obstacle comes a new opportunity. Like Ken was saying, like, we all have been given an opportunity, a solution, an answer to a problem. There's a solution to every problem.
Right.
And to every problem, there's a solution. So it's like, if we can embrace that and just ride that horse for a while, we're golden. Nothing's stopping us, you know?
I know. It's important to fill your head with potential and solutions because, you know, as much as it's good to know what's going on in the world, you can't let that dominate your mindset. You can't let that, like that guy Ty Lopez was saying, you know, that mindset is perfect in a world that existed 75,000 years ago.
Mm.
The world of lack, the world of need, the world of scarcity, all that. I mean, that's perfect so that, you know, it's, I don't know, you got to be very careful of how you protect your mindset.
I
love conspiracy theories like the rest of them, but you know, it doesn't affect my day-to-day life. You know?
That's awesome.
It's fun to entertain. All right, is that it?
I believe that is it. Boy, was that fun.
That was fun. We had a lot of show notes. I'll put the show notes to a really great documentary called 9/11 PSYOP that'll teach you about the planes that potentially flew into the buildings, as well as that 9-hour lecture by Judge David Wynn Miller, where he talks about quantum grammar and quantum language. And he, too, was involved in abductions by aliens. So,
Paul, our listener in the chat room, had some interesting things to say about David.
David Wynn Miller?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he knows about him.
He's known about him. I think he said he had an interview with him on the radio in 98.
Oh.
And it was quite interesting. He says you can't believe everything that you...
That you hear?
Hear and see. You have to put it to your own test. But he said he was talking about this guy being very literal with defending things. He said that he got into some hot water over quoting that the right to bear arms literally translated to the right to wearing short sleeve shirts.
Who did?
To bear your arms.
David.
Yeah. And he said there's been a bunch of cases, if you look, where people have taken his suggestions literally and ended themselves up in jail and had all kinds of problems. So he says you have to take everything into your own brain, mull it over and see what, you know.
Yeah, you watch that video with David Wynn Miller and you're not sure if this guy's completely crazy or if he's just a super genius or if he's just up there lying. He's not crazy. He's not a genius. He's just up there lying.
Is it possible to be both?
Possibly
a crazy genius. I mean,
yeah,
you might be a little nutty, but you might also be right. I don't know.
I mean, I just like information and listening to different perspectives. And if you want a different perspective, check this guy out. He'll blow your mind.
I'm going to watch that.
And you know what? If all of it's not true, if it's all just a lie and none of it's true, still interesting.
Yeah.
Still very interesting.
Just exposure to new things and new people and new ideas. It's always a good thing.
Super fun.
It grows you.
All right, so this was episode 411. We'll put links to everything we talked about if you want to.
411.
411.
The information is here.
So the show notes will be there, and you guys can follow us if you like. Please share this video with your friends. And don't forget to check out our store. We've got lots of great products on our store. We've added a handful more, that Vitalizer Plus, beta-glucan, which is incredible for your immune system, immunity. Earth and grounding sheets. We didn't even talk about that. Energy Muse jewelry. Lots of really cool things going on in our store. So don't forget to check that. And if you would be so kind as to share the show with your friends, or if you want to donate to us on a per podcast basis, you can donate. It comes out of your account once a month via Patreon. And that's really, really helpful because all of our shows are free. We're just giving away our time, energy, and information. So if you can give back in that way, that would be incredibly helpful. So we would really appreciate that. So we'll put a link to that on the show notes as well as the website. It's called Patreon, or you can donate via PayPal as well. So also, I want to thank every one of you guys who have donated, but bookmarked our Amazon link. Many people have been doing that. And you use the bookmark every time you make a purchase there on Amazon. That's hugely helpful. So
awesome.
Yeah, super, super helpful. Even if you just buy $10 worth of stuff and you use the bookmark and tell your friends about the bookmark, that helps. So we're really appreciative of that. That's about it, right?
I think that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Hey, everybody. This is Josie, Justin's mom. Don't tell him, but I know he would absolutely be really happy if you would sign up to his free weekly newsletter. And don't forget to share this with all your friends. This is the Buzzing Bumblebee signing off.
That was so good. Hello.
No material on this blog is intended to suggest that you should not seek professional medical care. Always work with qualified medical professionals, even if you educate yourself in the field of live food, nutrition, and alternative medicine. I'm not a doctor, nor am I offering readers medical advice of any kind. None of the information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent any disease or condition. While information in this blog is discussed in the context of numerous conditions, it can be dangerous to take action based on any information in this blog or to start any health program without first consulting a health professional. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as a treatment slash cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be continued as such. Always work with a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. This information is provided as is, and the reader slash viewer assumes all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.